Let's say good afternoon to Rebecca Davis, who I'm sure is as shocked to hear about John's misfortune as the rest of us have been. But Rebecca, I'll do my best to be something of a stand-in for him this afternoon. Welcome.
Viv, I'm not sure that's possible, and I mean that in the best way possible, as I'm sure John would agree. Also, just to note, maybe to your listeners, because I was inquiring about this, apparently we're not allowed to send him anything because ICU won't accept things.
Correct.
Is that right?
That is correct. We've all already asked if we could send flowers and chocolates and a little bit of wine, and the answer is an emphatic no, I'm afraid. So wait until he's back out of hospital and we'll let you know.
And then we'll smuggle in the contraband. So John and I, for the last few weeks, have been on Ace Watch, or I've been on Ace Watch and been forcing John to cooperate with me, which is my optimistic belief that things are suddenly moving toward ye old new dawn in South African politics. And yesterday I was feeling more new dawny than ever. Truly I was, with the news that Magashule was suspended, seemingly this time, you know, it was real. And then, of course, came this late night horror.
Yes. The clouds across the moon.
I mean, I can tell you that as somebody in a newsroom, I'm sure it was the same for you guys, it threw us into an absolute tizz, not knowing if it was true or not. And one of the things that struck me as so indicative of where we are in terms of the body politic was how difficult it was to verify whether it was true that Ace Magashule had returned suspended. So Ramaphosa, even saying it out loud seemed so absurd. Everything about it screamed fake news. We had all basically decided it had to be fake news. And the telling thing was, you're speaking to these people in the ANC, Jesse Duarte, who says, I don't know anything about this. And yet, you know, there is a certain newspaper group, the independent newspaper group, which already is running a story on it. And that itself is very telling, Pippa. And we mustn't, you know, amidst all this chaos and distraction, because that's what all this is, we mustn't fail to pick that up, that there was a newspaper group, Iqbal Survey's independent group, who were running with this as a story long before the rest of the media, and who are playing a very pivotal role in this campaign of what now seems to be distraction, because that's what it is. This is distraction, it's desperation, it's the last kicks of a dying horse. That is what Ace Magashule is up to now, and, you know, I think that we should take it in that light, you know, not to, perhaps to take it as seriously as he would want us to, but to say this is truly a desperation move and you're on your way out, Mr. Magashule. I, for one, look forward to cheering you out.
Well, I mean, Rebecca, you're echoing what Melanie Favut said a little bit earlier, that her comment was he has seriously overplayed his hand on this one and that this has got to be it, surely. I'm almost hesitant to say that, though, because, you know, every time we think it can't possibly get any worse than this, it does.
No, we've been discussing this today. I think people have been saying that sources in the ANC have been saying what he should have done is laid low. Laid low and then play the victim card, say you're the victim of a political conspiracy and come back all guns blazing. I mean, a colleague of mine was at Luthuli House today, and where he reported that the security guards were laughing. They were saying, this Magashule, this is ridiculous what he's doing. And I think that those security guards probably have the right attitude that the rest of us should adopt, frankly.
All right, well, in that case, let's laugh it off entirely, Rebecca, and move on to the second story, which is an absolutely fascinating one. Yet another study suggesting that there really, 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 really isn't any difference in structure and function between a male brain and a female brain, Rebecca.
It's such an interesting one, Pippa, because, I mean, I think all of us, to some extent, do fall into this trap every now and then of just subscribing to these innate biological differences between men and women. And this is one of the latest studies, but it is also seemingly one of the most authoritative and extensive studies, an analysis of 30 years of research on human brain sex differences, which has found that none of the alleged brain differences between men and women can explain supposed differences in personality and abilities. In other words, you know, the calculating, mechanical, methodical brain that makes men better at being pilots and the nurturing, collaborative brain that makes women so much better at being nurses and nursery school teachers and all the occupations that just coincidentally are much worse paid and have much lower status in society. You know, the only basic difference between men and female brains is that men are slightly bigger in proportion to men's bodies. Their lungs and which is kidneys, I think, are also bigger than women's because men's bodies tend to be a bit bigger. That is it. There is no part of a man's brain that is bigger than the other part of a woman's brain which explains anything of significance about the difference between men and women. And so what does this mean? It means that, again, we have to come back to the idea that the differences between men and women are largely social, that we sit in nursery school and as parents and say, or very subtly perhaps in ways we don't even realize, encourage boys towards acting and liking certain things, and girls towards acting and liking certain other things. And I must say, as a new parent myself, it's very hard, right? But I mean, like, I am consciously trying to raise a boy in what I hope to be a non-stereotypical boyish fashion, and yet, you know, he's getting blue clothes. He is, you know, the toys for his age are guns and, you know, I don't know, planes and cars and the rest of it, and he does love them. And it is hard to fight that issue. But what we see from science is telling us it's us. It's not the brain. It's not science.
It's something about the way we are teaching them to be in the world that is the difference,
right?
Not the actual physical structure of the brain. I mean, fascinating. You mentioned that obviously that men's brains are bigger proportionally, but actually, if you delve into this paper, she notes the fact that in fact the proportional difference in brain size is about half the proportional difference in the lung and kidney and liver size. That in fact, even allowing for that, it's insignificant. And this is 30 years worth of research that looked at the way the different, you know, cortex, which cortex does what and fires when.
Right.
It is just all absolutely insignificant when considered over a 30-year period. Her phrase was, gendered behavior comes, to use a computer analogy, from running different software on the same basic hardware. I mean, it's fascinating. The reason there's been such enthusiasm for this research, Rebecca, partly may have come from some trying to prove that there really, really was a difference, and men can't be expected to multitask and women can't be expected to do maths. But
well,
more importantly, it's medically driven, because there are certain conditions where men or women do better or are more susceptible, and they wanted to know what could be playing into that and causing that.
Yeah, so there is a political dimension to this. Obviously, I mean, there are people like me, feminists, who fall upon this very, very eagerly and say, look, it's not true what you've been saying, that women just aren't as good as men at doing X, Y, Z, or that women's brains aren't as good as math. And actually, in recent years, often this has been kind of switched around, you know, to say boys just aren't as good as girls at, you know, reading and et cetera. So even those educational differences should now be dismissed. And that's another reason why this research is important, because this does have implications for education. There have been moments in the past where educators have been told, separate boys and girls and teach them in this different way and that different way because, you know, they need it because of the way their brains are structured. Yeah. Nonsense. I mean, it really is nonsense. But the question is, of course, whether we as a society take note and answer it. And the other interesting implication, Pippa, is about the trans discussion, and that's, you know, too sticky an issue to get into here. But we did have the likes of Caitlyn Jenner saying, when she transitioned, I felt like I had a male brain. Well, I mean, I had a female brain. Well, what does that mean? And again, that has to be society. That's society. That's not something that Caitlyn Jenner can take to the world and say, look, this is why I was born in the wrong body, I'm afraid. That whole discourse also is impacted by this.
It really is fascinating. If you'd like to go and read it for yourselves, by the way, the author of the study, just Google Lise Elliott of Rosalind Franklin University of Medicine and Science. The study's the paper's called Dump the Dimorphism, if you want to read it in more detail. All right. Right, as a parent of a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old, I need to know from you, Rebecca Davis, whether I would be regarded as chuggy or unchuggy.
Pippa, I think you probably are chuggy, and I say this as a chug myself. Generation Z, who are the people born after 1996, they are a frightening bunch online, Pippa. They really are, and I'm sure you've observed this from your teen's behavior. They are quite the little bullies. And what they do in particular is they go around social media, not your kids in particular, I'm sure,
of course
but
not.
Others. Angels they are. They go around TikTok, Instagram, and the likes, and they mercilessly tease millennials, boomers, people, older people of our age about various things. For instance, having a side parting. Or is it not having a side parting? I forget. They have very specific rules for Gen Zs, and they are not afraid to lay them down online. And one of their latest...
I know, I was going to say, I know the skinny jeans are suddenly not okay anymore. So we've got to redo the wardrobe.
So embarrassing. No, as millennials, they also find it beyond hilarious that as millennials, we found the need to invent a word for men who groom themselves. And that word was metrosexual. There was a whole thread on it online the other day with Gen Z saying, oh my goodness, I read about this in history class. Metrosexual, isn't that funny? And it is a bit funny when you think about it. But now to torment us further, they've come up with a whole term. And that term, as you say, is choogy. C-H-E-U-G-Y. Now, anyone interested in etymology need really not torment themselves about this. There is no etymology. It was made up by a gang of mean girls at Beverly Hills High School. The word means nothing. It has no roots. But it is now taken fire on TikTok. If you are choogy or do choogy things, then you are basically old and out of date. You are just not very cool. And choogy things are exceptionally broad and include things which I would have thought were quite cool, like being really into sneaker culture, apparently, is just so lame these days. So is lasagna. I don't understand why.
What?
The TV show Friends apparently is just beyond the pale if you're into that. And there are other things. Girl boss energy. Girl boss energy is very cutey. Posting Instagram captions like, I did a thing, when you've just had a haircut. That is one I semi-agree with, I have to say. The kind of house decor items that have words on them like love, life, friends, etc. Terribly choogy, can't do it. Basically, the point is, if you are worried about whether you are choogy, and you should be worried if you care about what Gen Zs think of you, go to the New York Times and look up the article on what is choogy, C-H-E-U-G-Y, and you'll probably have to turn apart your whole lifestyle and wardrobe. That is, if you care what Gen Zs think of you. Should we, Pippa? You're raising them.
It doesn't matter what I think of them, because they change their minds about what's cool and not cool every week. I can't keep track of it, Rebecca, so I'll have to admit I am probably a dyed-in-the-wool choogy. I'm sure you are a non-choogy who is going to leave this conversation to go thrift shopping, make your own clothes, and invest in a pair of Birkenstocks, Rebecca.
You got me, Pippa, but I will do none of that. I'm going to settle into a lasagna while wearing a pair of not even real UGG boots, which would be choogy enough, but pick and pay clothing UGG boots, which is the ultimate. Thanks, Pippa.
Cheers, take care, and keep the toes warm. Rebecca Davis. Choogy is the word of the day, C-H-E-U-G-Y, if you want to look it up. What do you think makes somebody choogy or non-choogy, I wonder?